Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 383 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today is an oddments episode, so I'm clearing up all the bits and bobs that don't warrant their own episode today, and I'm also getting you caught up on what I'm doing and what my plans are for the future. And for those of you who don't follow the YouTube channel as well, you'll hear a little bit more than you've heard before about where we're going with our new plot of land and all the things that we've got planned for the next year, really, I think. And so it's going to be an exciting episode. I've got a lot to share with you. So I think I'll start with a quick just roundup of what's going on in the garden. And it's been a very interesting season. And as I was speaking about it with Alan, you'll know a lot, but I just think it's because of the house move and everything else, all the things that we've mentioned on the show lots of times and you'll be familiar with, it's just been a really unusual season for me, but I'm really enjoying what I'm growing. And I think this year I'm taking a year out from putting pressure on myself to deliver the goods, if you like, in the kitchen, insofar as how much we produce ourselves. And I'm just enjoying the process, and that's what I'm concentrating on. I'll touch a bit more on that at the end of the episode when I talk about our September challenge and what we're actually going to do. But I just think this year has been a really interesting one for me. It's the first time I've ever been in a position of trying to produce crops in a small garden, and I'm just, as I've said, I'm just focusing on enjoying the process and learning a bit more. And I'm reflecting on, it's August now, so it's far from the end of the season, and I'm still going to be sowing things and I'm still going to be trying to get a lot of crops out. But I think I've just come to the realization that turning a garden like we did into a garden with poor soil that's just grass, etc., etc., into a really, really productive space is more than a 2-3 week project, which we try to make it. And I think it's a 2 or 3 year project, 2 or 3 season project to get it really productive, you know, really kind of firing on all cylinders. And that's okay. All of these things are okay. So, you know, looking back over the first half of this year, we've had the house move, we had to deal with all of that. And of course, that was significant because we were downsizing a lot of our space outside, but also a lot of our kitchen storage and what have you all had to be reconfigured. So a lot of our stuff is still in storage. For example, I can't find, we've gone and looked and I need to spend a bit more time at our lockup to go through it. But as it stands right now, I can't find my pasta maker. I can't find my juicer. I can't find my ice cream maker. These are all things that we want access to. So there's a lot of things that are kind of on hold, and I'm being really kind to myself and saying these things are all okay. They will all come together. It will all come together very, very soon. And we just have to be a little bit patient and, like I say, enjoy the process, because otherwise, what's the point if we're not taking some satisfaction from what we are doing and what we're learning? Then what's the point? So the first portion of our year was very much all about the house move. From Christmas onwards, that's all we focused on. And then we had the project of actually doing the work on this house. So it wasn't until June, really, that we could say, right, the house move's finished, we've moved in. And that was only 2 months ago. Really easy to forget that it was just 2 months ago that we sort of finished working on the house and were able to sit down on the sofa, take a deep breath and say, right, that's done, at least for now. And as always, none of these things are ever quite done, are they? You know, we're always going to be working on the house. We've got scaffolding up at the side of the house as we speak. I've got new fires being fitted in the next couple of weeks, because we've got two wood burners here, or rather We've got two fireplaces here. We've got an open fire in the front room and a wood burner in the dining room. If you're not familiar with the two, then the simplest way to explain it is basically a wood burner is an enclosed unit which is connected to a flue, which is a piece of pipe that goes straight from that enclosed unit out the house, up in our case, out of the chimneys. And that's what we've got in the dining room. And in the front room, we've got an open fire, which the difference is it's just basically an open chimney that comes straight down into the room. And at the bottom, there's a grate that you burn wood in. Now, it's completely inefficient, the one in the front room, the open fire. You can get fairly decent open fires, certainly a lot better than ours, more efficient, but more efficient still is a wood burner, because you're closing up all of that space, all of that airflow from the outside down the chimney, and it's all just in that pipe, that flue that goes directly into that sealed unit. So in the winter, you don't have to worry if your fire's not lit about all of that warm air in your house disappearing up your chimney. So we're moving to a wood burner in the front room to make that far more efficient. And in the dining room, the wood burner that's in there has all seized up the bottom where you take out the ash and things like that. You can't get in there, and there's only a tiny little hole in the front, so you've got to get in there with your hands and scoop all the ash out, and it's just a horrible thing to use. So we're replacing that as well, so we're going for two new wood burners, and hopefully that's going to make up, I'm going to suggest, 98% of our heating in the winter, because in the dining room, that's where we live, so that's going to be the dining room and the kitchen completely heated with that little wood burner. And the one in the front room's also got our open staircase that goes upstairs, so hopefully that will do most of the job of heating the rest of the house if we keep it lit all the time. Now, of course, when it gets very, very cold, when we have temperatures below freezing for several days in a row, we can still run the central heating, particularly for the upstairs and the bathroom, which is the furthest point from any of the fires. So we've still got that option, and I imagine we will use it from time to time, but we're trying to get away from our boiler, which is oil filled. So that's the plans for the next few weeks. That's what's going to be happening on the house. And outside, like I said, I'm just enjoying the process. We're harvesting some cauliflowers. I've harvested the best cauliflowers I've ever grown. They're not massive by any stretch. They're the size of a small watermelon, I suppose. And we're enjoying that. The brassica experience for me has been very different this year with the cage. And it's definitely something I've learned, is how valuable it is to really spend a lot more effort getting things protected from pests, particularly the brassicas. But We're using lots of more traditional methods with our sort of sowing, our planting out. It's a much less attritional system that I've got running. I used to just throw all the seeds at it and then we'd harvest whatever we got, because we could do that. And I don't think I'm going to go back to that system, even with our bigger space, which we are obviously now thinking about moving into. So let's talk about that for a minute. So the last real news I gave you on the podcast was that I'd met someone called Sally Morgan, and her book, Living on 1 Acre or Less, is based on this plot of land that she offered me. I had a choice between that plot, that 1 acre plot, and an additional 1 acre field, or a 5 acre field at a different place on her land. And we have 100% opted for the two 1 acre plots. So I'm really excited. If you're interested in seeing them, then it is worth popping over to the YouTube channel, because I've done a bit of a tour down there. And medium term, I think it's going to be a bit weird for me, because this year, although Sally is very, very keen, she says, you know, I want you to start moving in, I want you to start using it. But at the moment, I'm not really sure what I can do, what I can use, what I can't, because Sally hasn't had the time to walk around with me. And of course, she's still harvesting from it now. She's still got crops in there. And realistically, I think the real handover will be more towards the end of this growing season in October and November. So I have been down there, I have started clearing some weeds, but I haven't really been able to get my teeth into the whole plot, though. That's why I haven't been speaking about it very much. But as of October, November, that will be the focus, and we'll go down there and we'll start recuperating it, because a lot of it's very overgrown. It needs a lot of work to bring it back to what it was. But there are things like a little orchard there on that site. There's a fruit cage with soft fruit growing in it. I've got a massive fruit cage, which I'm going to take down there and put up, and I'm probably going to use that for a brassica cage. And that's where we're going to grow our, not just our brassicas, but a lot of the plants that we want to protect from those same pests. And I'm hoping, although it's certainly not nailed on, that I'm going to get a chance to grow some Christmas potatoes down there after my talk with Alan. I want to get down there and basically regenerate a couple of the beds that have been overgrown down there and turn them into potato plots. And that's definitely going to be the long-term plan. We're going to have two or three big potato plots down there. We'll obviously use crop rotation, but we're probably going to have three large outside growing beds, that's my guess, and we'll probably give two of them over to potatoes every year and then rotate. That third one will be our outside growing bed for things like beetroot and squash and beans and all of those things. We'll have to include quite a lot of beans down there for the nitrogen fixing and the recuperative powers that the legume family have. So we'll have lots and lots of legumes there. And then, of course, we've got this giant 30-meter polytunnel, which is just so exciting. And as I've mentioned, I think, on the podcast, where there is a four-tank aquaculture system in there, or aquaponics system, I'm not sure the difference, but it's redundant at the moment, it's not working, but we're going to get that up and running over the next year or two and start producing some of our own fish and lots of our own veggies from that aquaponics system. I'm really excited about that, and what I'm most excited about that is actually learning about it, and obviously I'll share everything I learn with you guys as we go. So the other thing to mention about down there, the field that we've got a 1 acre field, which is plenty big enough to raise half a dozen sheep in it, or a few, maybe a couple of cows, something like that. But it's very, very clayey ground, and it does get waterlogged, and it does actually flood. It's flooded once in the last 10 years. So we're not really sure exactly what we're going to do with it yet. I'm sure that we're going to raise some livestock in it, but whether we go for a system that's based around buying in the young animals in the spring and then raising them and then slaughtering and butchering them there in the autumn so that we avoid the worst of the weather, I'm not sure. I'd also love to have a plot of trees down there, and I'd love to have some coppicing trees, some trees that we can use to produce our own firewood, because we're obviously going to be wanting a lot more of that. So it's very possible that that whole 1 acre plot is given over to the production of firewood, and then we perhaps raise some animals in there underneath the trees during the summer months, whatever they might be. We could think about turkeys, we could think about geese, we could think about sheep, we could think about pigs, all dependent on which direction I go with the trees and what have you. So there's lots and lots to think about, and absolutely nothing is set in stone yet. Everything is just an idea, that's all it is, and we will just get to grips with it over the next few months and then ease ourselves into it. And I'm just going to enjoy this year, that's the main thing. Now, the other thing that I've done over the last few weeks is I've spent a lot of time enjoying the benefits of the free websites like FreeCycle and Trash Nothing, and also on Craigslist and Gumtree, you can search for things that are being given away free, things that need rehoming. And I've sourced six big dumpy bags. They're about a cubic meter of used bedding straw from a donkey stables, and I've got another six to collect. So that is what I'm using to mulch my garden beds here, and I've got the rest just in storage down at the new 1 acre plot. We'll be using that for mulch next year, I'm sure. Or maybe even before that, we'll have to wait and see. But I've been just really enjoying the process of plugging into that community. I've got a new bedside cabinet, which I'm also enjoying, which was going to landfill, and that's now, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful solid wood unit, and I missed one in the house move. I don't know how much I shared with you. I think I shared it somewhere. I'm not sure if I shared it here or on the YouTube channel, but basically the only furniture I personally have in the bedroom is two little bedside cabinets. I've built a built-in wardrobe, but I've got two little bedside cabinets. That's all the furniture I have. It keeps a lot of my clothes in, the clothes that don't go in the wardrobe, and everything else that's mine. And all the other furniture in the bedroom is Jackie's. Well, When we moved, my son had a bedside cabinet that was kind of falling apart, and my wife said, oh, you can have one of Dad's, he's got two. And she just gave it away to my son. And so in the house move, I lost literally half of my bedroom furniture. So it was lovely to be able to replace that with something for free. That was fantastic. And I think that kind of brings me on to the last thing that I really want to talk about in detail today. And that is the September challenge. Now, as you know, last year I undertook an extensive September challenge, where I only ate things that I could grow, butcher, trap, forage myself. And it was incredibly, incredibly successful. I'm really glad I did it. And it really connected me in a way that I couldn't have got any other way to the whole eclectic process of producing your own food. And I just felt when I came out the other side of it that I just really understood exactly where I was in my journey far better than I could have if I hadn't undertaken that challenge. And I made a commitment then that I would do the same thing every year, and every September we're going to undertake a September challenge. Now, this year I've toyed with a few different ideas, and we're just not in a position to be able to do the same challenge that I did last year. We don't have milking goats, we've got no dairy, we aren't raising many of our own animals, so we've got very little meat, and we're not even close to having the same amount of produce coming from the garden either. So I have been toying with a few ideas, and I've asked listeners for their ideas, of which we've had a few come in. And I think what, and I did mention back along that I was going to put it out for a poll, but I think what I'm going to do is a kind of mixture of all of these things, but I'm going to be really quite relaxed with myself and with the rules, because what I don't want it to be, last year's challenge, if you remember, it went so well, it turned into a real celebration of self-sufficiency and what you could do. And the variety of food I was eating and all those kinds of things were just absolutely fantastic. And I was really, really thrilled with the results and to be able to share it all with you. But what I don't want to do is turn it into a slog and turn it into this, you know, I mentioned on my hair shirts and takeaways that the episode that the point of doing what we're doing isn't to try and punish ourselves. And I don't want to turn it into a type of punishment, and I don't want it to be a turn off to others. I don't want it to be, well, if you live in a smaller space, you can't achieve very much, so don't bother trying. Because not only am I using a smaller space, but also coupled with that is the house move and us getting the garden up and running and the garden not being very productive this year. And I want that to be okay. I don't want to turn that into something that I'm just morose about and that I'm kind of just depressed about and wishing that we, you know, wishing that we'd had more. I want to just enjoy the produce that we've got. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to change it up. I'm just going to change it up throughout the month. So I am going to undertake a September challenge, but the September challenge isn't really going to have any rules. We're going to start with something, and then we might do that for a week, and then we'll change to something else, and then we'll do that for a week, and then we'll change to something else, and then we'll do that for a week. So we might start with, I'm just going to do one evening meal every evening that is purely 100% self-sufficient, things that we've done ourselves. And then the following week I might do a challenge where I go all week and I only spend £10 to feed myself all week, and the rest we've got to produce ourselves. And then the following week we might do something where we're going to produce a very, very different meal, an evening meal every single night, something very, very different where the focal point on the plate is very much self-sufficient. So we might talk about crayfish and salmon, or not salmon, I don't catch salmon, I don't know why I said that, mackerel, which is a fish I've got access to, and trout and things like that, things we can catch ourselves, or maybe some rabbit that I've trapped, or maybe some vegetables that we've grown. And then the following week we might do something where we're focusing on some self-sufficiency skills. So we're doing a day of cheese making, and the cheese is going to be the ultimate product that we're going to have at the end. And then we might do a day where we're focusing on pasta, and we make three different pasta dishes, all from stuff that we've made ourselves. So that's what I'm going to do this September. I hope that isn't a disappointment to you guys, because I know that last year's challenge was really, really something everyone kind of got into and got behind. And I also hope that this doesn't discourage others to participate in your own September challenge. And hopefully it works the opposite and it shows you that you can set your own remit to be whatever it is that suits your stage in your self-sufficiency journey, and you can tailor a challenge to wherever you are that is going to both challenge you but also reward you. And in my opinion, the most valuable thing is you come out the other side with a much deeper understanding of exactly where you are in the process. So that's my plan for the September challenge. One last thing, completely unrelated, that I wanted to share with you actually is my daughter went on a trip to France with one of her friends in the summer holidays, school summer holidays, and she called me from France to say that she'd just eaten ratatouille and she enjoyed it. And I thought, right, I am absolutely not letting that opportunity pass. So when she came home, I bought a couple of aubergines from the supermarket. We picked a load of tomatoes. We picked a load of courgettes. And I said, right, here you go. Here's an online recipe. You can make some ratatouille, and set her off. And she made ratatouille. The whole family enjoyed it. And I thought, I couldn't possibly let this opportunity to get our family eating lots of courgettes go to waste. So she is now officially in charge of making ratatouille for our family, which we're having and enjoying on a regular basis. So that's just another little story, a success story from this summer that I wanted to share with you. Thanks ever so much, guys, for all of your support all the time. I can't tell you how much I value it. I really, really do. Those of you who take the steps to go out of your comfort zone and do something to help support the show, it means the world to me. I recently took some people on a foraging walk that found me through the podcast, so you know who you are. Thank you so much for that. I love it when you guys rate and review me online. I absolutely adore it when you tell other people about the show. And of course, I could not be more grateful to those of you who take the step to become patrons, because apart from anything else, knowing that what I'm doing is giving people that kind of value is just so invigorating to me and rewarding to me. And it means that what I'm doing is worthwhile and I should carry on. So it's so important. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all the ways you choose to support what I'm doing. It means the world to me. And hopefully you're all getting some value out of the show. Right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. I should be back on Monday and I'll speak to you then. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.